Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance, with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance, neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling, to the sound of the breezes that blow. You know I'm trying to please to the calling.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this Black Friday. And it was a Black Thursday for my football picks. Not too good. Well, I guess the night ones were good. So, in the meantime, it was also a Black Thursday for my stomach with all the food that I stuffed down. And I think that's why Black Friday is so big, because we all got to go out and buy new clothes to fit into after the holiday. But anyways, welcome aboard. Markets continue to push higher, and no real surprise. I mean, you know, again, we've been on this case as much as we don't like the markets and don't think that the rally is warranted. The one thing you have to say is that they're going up, so you really can't get involved and say that it's not a good rally, because it doesn't really matter. You remember, it doesn't matter why. It only matters that it is. And what we are seeing is a continuation of the chase for yield, a continuation of the investors borrowing record margin money to go ahead and push this up. So, you know, you can't say it is. So it's not the fundamentals, or however you or I perceive the fundamentals, are not important. This is the most important thing to understand about the investing and the trading world, is the how we perceive is not fact. Fact is what the market does. That's fact, right? Because, you know, if you trade and lose all your money because you tried to sell into a market that wanted to go up every day, and you said, well, but it was, the fundamentals weren't there. Well, then what happens? You end up with no cash. You end up bust. And in the meantime, the market keeps doing what it's doing. This is why it's so important to watch the market, observe the market, be prepared for what's going to happen, but not try to tell the market what to do. Because you are in a battle that cannot be won over the long term, you know, unless you have unlimited funds that you can continue to parlay up, and nobody's got that much money. And you just think about it this way, you know, you could have started, you know, with a dollar risk, you know, 10 years ago, and if you'd have kept fading it, you'd be, you know, in the billions already. So look, it is what it is. You cannot stop the train today. Tomorrow, that could change. The next day, that could change. But your real job, your real focus should be on when it happens and being prepared for the next move. For now, the trend is up. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about that. And again, it doesn't matter that I think that the jobs are brutal. I think that there's no growth, because, again, you know, the Dow has gone from my first bearish call on the markets, the Dow has gone up only 4,000 or 5,000 points. All right. The S&P has only gone up 400 or 500 points. So that's why you can't get in front of it. That's why you must let the markets trade and wait for the opportunities to arise when they do. And I, again, I warn about this almost every day, and I'm warning about it again today, that let's not believe in even though we are probably right, it doesn't matter, because it's easier to use the market footprint that will come when it's ready. That is something that is what you need to be focused on. Because it doesn't matter that margin debt is at record highs. It doesn't matter that more of this latest market pushes by retail traders who typically are wrong. It doesn't mean they're going to be wrong today. So, you know, keep an eye on the VIX, keep an eye on volatility. And as long as they both remain low and volume remains low, you can figure that the market's going to continue to go higher. Now, that makes it a bigger challenge for trading because low volatile and low volume markets are pretty treacherous for people that like to trade more actively. Option sellers are selling premium now. Our premiums are extremely low. Now, again, that can last for an extended amount of time, as it has. But if you try to force it, you're going to be in a world of hurt. So we're not even able to get the typical credits that we like to get for ourselves in these markets because simply they continue to dribble higher. And you're getting small credit, so it makes the credit even that more dangerous because you're not getting enough, so it's hard to overcome those odds. But, you know, the trend, as they say, is your friend, and the trend in volatility is down. The trend in equities is up. Crude may be looking to turn up, which is unbelievable and not my shock. In fact, I got quoted the other day. I said that crude oil has a better chance to go to 40 than it does to 62. I said that on Bloomberg. So, you know, and I believe that, but that doesn't mean that it's not going to 62 first. Again, markets are irrational. Money is irrational. People that trade are irrational. So you've got a bunch of irrational things all tied together into a big pile of stuff. And if you think that you're going to outsmart that pile of stuff, then you're going to end up losing money. And of course, we're about not losing money. We're about trying to make money. We're about trying to build. And, you know, this is again where people will get careless. Now, this is about, you know, even some of my hedging people that have hedged for years are frustrated. Because, you know, they feel that they're losing money, even though they're making money, and even though they've added to their portfolios by, you know, any time we've had some selling over the last 2 years, they're going, well, I should be making more. And of course, they don't do the math, and this is the emotional tie to the business. This is the emotions that play out in people's minds. And this is where trouble is brewing. Trouble, if you remember 42, trouble's brewing. But again, let's not think that it has to be one way or the other. Let's remain with an open mind and an open slate and follow the market footprint, because that will put you in a much better shape than if you're trying to be a fortune teller or what they call a soothsayer or a prophet. Not profit, but prophet. You cannot be that. You will find yourself limping along and finding more trouble if you do it that way. In the meantime, this is the Bubba Show on Black Friday, and of course I got such a stomach, I'm so full. Jeez, Louise, did I eat? But in the meantime, don't forget to check out my highschoolinvesting.com. You know, again, we've been running this program for 6 years and have 300 high schools and would like to get to 30,000, actually. But I can no longer afford to fund it by myself. I need to get some resources. And if you'd like to help out, we're using Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, to try to raise some awareness and some capital. In the meantime, all you do is go to patreon.com/BubbaTrading. And for those who do, I will be offering a special webinar and an autographed copy of my book. And don't forget to go to libertytalk.fm and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge. And of course, if you're missing my daily updates, which I talk about this stuff every day in a quick video after the close, go to BubbaTrading.com. It's free. You can sign up for it, and you'll get an email every day from me. In the meantime, we're going to step out of a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back. It's the time of the... Welcome back. Welcome to Bubba's Black Friday. And of course, we had a great webinar today for Bubba's Black Friday and talked about all the markets and how to take advantage of all the markets and at least always put yourself in that best possible position to be successful. But I did want to talk about a little bit about the cryptocurrency space and what's going on there. And, you know, let's do a little bit of a background on this. You know, as many of you know who've been with me for a long time know that when I used to have the Badger on and we used to talk about, you know, these markets and what we thought about them and how we thought they were, you know, pretty much these crypto spaces were pretty much bubbles and really not real markets. And, you know, as time has moved on, I have become a believer in the space itself. I have become a believer that the cryptocurrency world will exist. You know, I've talked to many, many, many experts over time and many, many people that I respect immensely on their thoughts of this space. And, you know, like any other product, I would never take all of my money and put it into one. And in full disclosure, I own at the moment no cryptocurrencies, although I wish I owned some Bitcoin, but I don't. I own none. Okay, now you guys know Matt Demeter, who comes on, he does own some and trades them. And of course, I will also get involved and trade them. But my simple point is this, and this is something that really, I caught an interview with Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary, who I think is a pompous whatever. But in the meantime, I can't knock the fact that he's a billionaire and that he sold his company. And it doesn't matter why he did it. And, you know, he made tons, and he's now known as a recognized expert in a lot of things. But I think he's calculating and making a tremendous error in his mind and in those of you who are interested in this. And that is that he says that Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies are not a currency. He says they're a bubble, which they very well may be in a bubble. However, I will say that he is dead wrong on whether or not it is a currency. Whether it's a bubble or not, whether or not it's ever going to go, if it's going to go straight up or it's ever going to collapse, has nothing to do with anything. Okay? Because what makes a currency is something that gives you and me the ability to exchange one thing of wealth or value for another. That is a market. That is a price discovery market. And price discovery is based on you and me meeting at some point to trade, whether it be dollars, which is the common recognized for stock, or whether you take Bitcoin for stock, or you take, you know, any of the other cryptocurrencies. So indeed, and in fact, cryptocurrencies are a currency because people accept them as value. There is nothing else to discuss. If I have a rock that I picked up on the beach and I give it to you and you give me back, I don't know, let's say a watch, okay, then that rock is considered currency because you consider it to have something of value. And currency is what allows you to trade or purchase goods. And to further push the fact that the cryptocurrency world is alive and well for now, is the fact that many stores take Bitcoin as forms of payment. Many of the offline or offshore betting sites take cryptocurrency or Bitcoin for payment. So, the BubbaTrading.com takes Bitcoin for payment. So, if you think that that's not a currency, well, then you're an idiot. Okay, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You can think that it's a bubble. You can think that it's valueless. But if people are willing to take it as payment for things of value, then they are idiots if they are not at least acknowledging the fact that it is a true currency. All right. Again, we can talk about the fact that it may not be for real forever. We can talk about all that stuff. But at the end of the day, whatever today that we are trading that has value, for something else that has value is a currency. Now, many world currencies have failed over the years. Have we not watched the Mexican peso collapse many, many times? So what makes the Mexican peso different than the Bitcoin? What makes the Brazilian real different than the Bitcoin? Nothing. Or the Russian ruble. They're all currencies are the way that you purchase. Those are the things that you exchange for something else, wealth. So we, if we are trying to say that things do not have value, then that's just being silly. That's being stubborn to the fact or the point that you're only going to get pounded on your own head because you don't believe it. It does not mean that you should run out and buy Bitcoin today. It doesn't mean that you should. Everybody has to have it. You know, not everybody carries euro currency or Deutschmarks or Swiss francs. You know, you trade in the currency in which you most people in which where you live. However, you know, big companies, you know, Caterpillar and the stuff like that, they trade in multiple currencies. All right. When we traded markets worldwide, we traded in other currencies. We traded and exchanged in other currencies because you typically use the currency where you are. That is one of the gimmicks behind all of the different currencies. That's where a lot of these little shops, you know, you go to the airport and they have the exchange departments, you know, they have the little stores that you can exchange your dollars for euro or your dollar for the Australian dollar, whatever it is you're exchanging for. All right. And they always work on what we call the bid offer spread. And of course, when you buy or you exchange, if you take a dollar and you want to buy a Canadian dollar, all right, which is trading, let's say, at 80 cents today, all right, well, their market is probably 78, 82. So you're paying a spread with inside that. But to think that Bitcoin itself is not a currency is idiotic. Okay. Again, you don't have to like it. You don't have to believe in it, but it is a 100% a currency. And for those who want to fight the fact that that is a currency are just stubborn. And of course, that is where it looks to me that Mr. O'Leary believes that he's bigger than the market. And of course, you know, there's been many bigger than him that have busted out trying to tell us that something is not the real deal. So I remind you again, and this is not an endorsement to run out and buy Bitcoin today. This is a simple fact. It's a simple calculation of what has value, and perceived value is all we need. Okay. This goes back to, if you remember, if you go back a number of years ago, when the dollar was considered to be collapsing and not going to be the world currency or the reserve currency. Well, that's quickly moved away. And of course, the dollar still is the reserve currency. But the simple fact is a currency is something that others have assigned a value that are willing to trade goods for dollars or goods for Bitcoins. And if you fight that whatsoever, then you're making a very, very large mistake. And I think that's where many of the big money has been made. And usually, obviously, the big money is made in the beginning of a lot of these things. But, you know, somebody tells me, well, I'm going to invest, you know, 5% of my net worth into a cryptocurrency. Listen, that's like any other. That's like buying gold. It is no different. Gold and Bitcoin are competitive as well, because the Bitcoin, new money goes into Bitcoin that sometimes comes out of gold. So don't let these experts convince you otherwise that it's not real, because I'm just telling you that they are real. And again, it goes back to what the value. Today's value is 8,000. Tomorrow's value might be 7,000. All that means is it will be buy less of what you're trying to buy. Keep that in mind. We're going to talk a little bit more about this when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, I want to remind you to go to libertytalk.fm every day and download The Bubba Show as well as The Sporting Edge. And, you know, we've got We've got a lot of content there that you will enjoy and that will fit what you're looking for. And we are the only station that you'll need. And of course, I don't need to miss out on getting Bubba's Daily Update or my weekly show, Bubba's Bottom Line, which is all done video wise. And I send it, email it right to you. All you have to do is go to BubbaTrading.com and there's a little box that pops up, fill it out, and you'll automatically for free get Bubba's Daily Update. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'll be right back with more after the break. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz on this Black Friday. And okay, so let's just sum up and finish the thought on the cryptocurrency world. And you know, you've got exchanges that trade it. You now have the CME and the CBOE recognizing them as real money or real currencies or real products. So there you go. That should be enough for anybody to believe that they are legit. It doesn't mean you have to believe it. Again, it's one thing to understand if it's real or not. The other thing is to understand if you want to invest in it. And I am not advocating either. What I'm saying to you is that it is real. It is a product. And when the major exchanges start to recognize it, you better bet your sweet potatoes that it is real. Okay. So remember that is, again, it doesn't mean that it's going up or down. It just means that it is recognized and it has a market. If it has a market that has some liquidity, then it's a real product. And in this case, it's a real currency, no different than gold, silver, or anything else that you would trade one thing for another. Okay. I mean, the last example is if you would trade, you know, a baseball card for a bicycle. They would both be considered a currency at that particular time. You're trading something of value for something else of value, or we would call the exchange of wealth. That's the simplest way that I could put it. Now, as we get into this Black Friday holiday and the big shopping spree that are going on, I guess I want to ask this question of everybody just to think about for a minute. Does Black Friday have the same meaning that it had in the past? Does Black Friday have the same allure? Although I know you saw the stores this morning. If you were looking, they were packed. But Black Friday kind of started, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, a month ago. Who knows? You know, it has changed in many ways. You know, I remember just 20 years ago when my kids were little and they wanted those scooters. That was when scooters first came out. And of course, I'm up early anyway, so I was at the store at 4:30 waiting for the 5 o'clock opening and, you know, got my scooters and done. It was a great value. And of course, you can, if you're a shopper and you have time and the energy to go through this Black Friday stuff, you can get some great values and probably save a big percentage on your Christmas shopping. But from a standpoint of whether or not the sales are the same, I would argue that it's no longer a true Black Friday because many of the things are done online. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago when only very few stores were open on Thanksgiving Day. Okay, now they keep trying to open up earlier. And, of course, you know, I believe that the markets themselves or the stores themselves are destroying their own business because everybody's fighting for dollars. And I think they would do just as much business had they be open just on Black Friday like they used to. But obviously I'm wrong because they keep doing it. But, you know, a lot of the Black Friday sales have started already. And of course, the pricing is, you know, unbelievably inexpensive for many, many things. And I think that brings the question, have we been getting ripped off for all these years? Is the true retail margin really not double? Maybe it's triple? Because it's amazing when you look at, you know, I saw a 32-inch TV flat screen, you know, for $89 at Best Buy. Okay. Now, you know, again, I don't know. Are they making any profit there? Is that a loss leader? I don't even know. I have no idea. I just know it's good for me because I, you know, I've got six of them in one room just to watch football games. But my point is very simple, that the true Black Friday holiday is not the Black Friday that we all typically remember, because it's not that big of an event. Besides the ability to buy everything online today, besides the opportunity that stores open, you know, again, Thanksgiving Day or before, and they start these sales long ago, you know, I mean, they were doing like some Black Friday stuff during Halloween. So it's, I don't know that it's any longer isolated to the one day. Okay. I don't know if we have that same allure of what it is. I know they advertise it, but, you know, how do they count the sales? Do they add up the culmination of everything into Black Friday? There's a lot of stuff that you know, I'm not quite sure of how it plays out. I do know it does benefit a lot of consumers, which is the good thing. We get better pricing. But I don't know how it really interprets to the general economy. I don't know that, you know, that Amazon and even Walmart and many of the other online providers have not destroyed a lot of this. I mean, certainly, you know, I would go to Black Friday, not necessarily Black Friday, but I would go shopping because I need to go get some things anyways. But I'll go at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning when nobody's up, right? When nobody wants to, when nobody's going to be there. I'm not going to go sit in a crowd. But I'm wondering, have they destroyed the Black Friday shopping experience from the big numbers we're expecting? You know, now you've got, you know, Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and then Cyber Monday. So does that take away, you know, I'm sure the dollars will be spent, but how will they be spent? And the truth of the matter is we need the dollars to be spent in the stores. And not because I don't like the online, because I said many times, I am a online shopper for myself. But I think that the issue here becomes, you know, brick and mortar needs business. Brick and mortar needs to pay their employees. They need to pay their rent. They need to pay all their bills. And there, I think, is part of an issue that where a lot of the online stuff is hurting. And again, that's why, you know, these longer hours that these stores are now keeping, these holiday hours, I mean, you have to pay holiday pay. So is this really good for the economy or is it not? I don't have the answer. I'm asking as to what everybody else thinks, because certainly a Amazon cost per good to sell has to be cheaper than a Walmart, because they both have brick and mortar, but Walmart has brick and mortar warehouse and then brick and mortar retail and a bunch of employees that have to clean up and do all the other stuff. Whereas Amazon has brick and mortar as a warehouse, but most of their warehouses are automated and it goes right from one to the other. It does not make another stop. You know, if you buy something from Walmart that came from their warehouse, for example, first, it has to get shipped in the warehouse. They pay shipping or they ship it themselves, but they still got to pay for it. It sits there. Then they pick it and ship it out. So now they've added more labor costs. And then they bring it into the store, have to unpack it, put it back on their shelves. And then somebody takes it out and they have to have a cashier. So now we've added extra cost per good. So does that make it, you know, more expensive? And it, which it does. And so the real issue here is, if you only have an Amazon, if you only have an online presence, okay, then you have a lot less cost for the retailer, but you put out a lot of jobs and you put out a lot of, you know, because if people don't go to stores, then they don't use gas. They don't go to restaurants, because if they're not out, you know, they don't go to those convenience places. So there's a whole chain of events that does not reach great dynamics if we only shop online. And I think that is an issue that, you know, nobody ever talks about is the other ramifications that goes along with wiping out all small business. I think that that lack of true competition that creates you from not going into the store, it costs not only that particular retailer money, but it costs a lot of the retailers on the way there some money. It's the gas station that you go to, and maybe when you go to the gas station, you go in and buy a coffee, all right? Or it's that little restaurant that's at the mall that you go have lunch or breakfast or coffee or whatever. So what you're seeing is it's not just the destruction of retail in general, but all of the other businesses that surround that. It's the, you know, you can go, you want to take it all the way down. You can take it into even the auto parts stores, because if you're not getting as much wear and tear on your car, you don't have to replace things as often. So I think that this whole setup of everything being done without moving your tush sitting in your living room or in your office does change a lot of the business structure around, which then also then does slow down the velocity and the movement of money. And again, in the long run, it hurts the McDonald's, the drive-thrus, it hurts everybody. And I think that is something that just, again, I'm not saying that it's a change. I'm just saying that those are things that we don't often talk about, of the cause and effect of some of the things that we do or that we see being done. And to me, that could create, obviously, a bigger problem in the long run. And that's something that I think that we all need to kind of think about as we do our shopping. And as you look at the numbers that when they come and report, it's all stuff that I believe to be of somewhat of importance. But there's nothing more important than high school investing. There's nothing more important than financial literacy for children. And that's something that we miss a lot. And, of course, we talk to Jane King every Monday about that. But we need to keep our children educated, because we're not doing a very good job, our generation. And that's my financial literacy program, highschoolinvesting.com. Again, I've supported it myself for 6 years, and I'm looking for some help. And if you want to go to Patreon, patreon.com/BubbaTrading, and check it out. We're looking for some donations to help continue to grow this program. And of course, for those who do, we'll get a special webinar and an autographed copy of my book. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. LibertyTalk.fm is where you go to download the show when you miss a show during the day. And of course, don't ever miss a show. That would be silly. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we will be right back with more on this Black Friday after break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. So as we embark on the weekend and get ready to go, and we watch all these sales and all the fluff and the air and the news time, is it worth it? And does it help? And does it take away from other things that could be better? Tough question to answer. I think one of the things we are seeing, though, and I think this is important to talk about as well, is the destruction of the small retailer, the destruction of the small bank. And I think that, you know, in our country, with the advent of and the allowing the banks to become, as they say, too big to fail, I think that is something that is very concerning. And I think a lot of this stuff is playing out within the farming industry, the farming community. The banks, the big banks, are gaining too much control on price and what things can be charged, because of the way in that they are forcing a lot of times liquidation of product because of how much money they have to lend out. And I think that is one of the reasons we're seeing our grains at such low prices. And I wish that those low prices would translate to the retail store, so my bread and everything else would be cheaper. But for some reason, that is not the case. But I think that this is all part of the destruction of the economy that nobody ever talks about. and how the effect of, you know, having no real competition in small business and in small banks, for example, and because of the oversized regulations on many, and I know President Trump has reduced or removed many of them, but it still does not equal the benefit to the small bank because of their general cost of operation, which is very similar to the others, you know. And if you notice, for example, you know, JP Morgan Chase, I mean, within a 5-mile radius of my house, there's probably 11 or 12 different satellite offices, which is very easy offset by them because of the size of what they are and what they have. Whereas, you know, the community bank that's, you know, maybe at one or two branches, their cost is so much higher to operate. So it makes it tougher for them to compete on a big scale. And then, of course, when they take over, they then try to run the businesses that they're lending money to. And, of course, we know how that turns out. Not very good because, you know, the banks just know how to give out money and try to make you pay it back. And I think that's, you know, an issue that we're really not talking about, because I believe a big reason for a lot of the issues in the farming community today are as follows. We have, A, the banks, which hurt many because of they force them to do things before they're ready. And, of course, many old-time farmers, when they all owned their own land and it was passed down through generations from family to family, they had the ability to hold on. They could actually store grains as if it was like they were putting the money in their bank. It was just in the form of grains. Kind of goes into the currency talk we had earlier, which is, you know, what has value? I mean, you know, grains have value. What is the value? Well, it's too cheap today, so I want to hold it. So basically, I'll store it in my own little private bank, even though it's not a bank, but it's like a bank because it's going to be worth money. The question is, will it appreciate in the bin? And so that is something that I believe is an issue to be discussed and could cause some issues. But I think what we're seeing here is a destruction of many things. And then you tie into the fact that a lot of farms are now leased. And of course, the cost of leasing has become extremely hard to overcome, especially with grain prices, you know, at these levels. And I think the other problem is a lot of farms have become corporate, okay, and their business is being run that can run much skinnier. It's always the thing that we have to keep in mind. You know, if you look at Walmart, I mean, their buying power is much bigger than the local little, you know, five and dime store. You know, we used to call them dime stores. I don't know what they're called now, but the 5 and 10 down the street. Walmart's buying power is much bigger, so they can afford to sell much cheaper. And even if they sell the same price, their profit margin are going to be much higher. And I think that's starting to happen a little bit. You know, this farmland is very rich and very high priced still, which is unusual. But of course, when you have active buyers out there that are willing to buy it, because again, if I know, you know, most farms are family owned, family run, and, you know, they do everything themselves. So whatever money they make and they put it away and they continue to pour it back into the land and do what they need to do. But when you now take that and you bring in a crew and you're paying them X amount of dollars, you've got a fixed pay and you've got to pay them. But you can afford to work less because you're running a multiple size operation that can work on a smaller profit margin. And I think that, again, that's progress, I guess, but it's also something that does hurt the overall economy, because what we're basically doing is we're running a lot of people out of business. And I think that itself becomes something to be considered is, you know, as we continue to destruct smaller business and become bigger and bigger. And it doesn't have to be that way. It's that way because of the way that we run things now. It's that way because of our House and our Congress and the idiots in charge that force the small business out of business. And that is where I think that we, the consumer, we may benefit today, but I think down the road, if we continue at this pace, we, the consumer, will get punished by losing the small retailer, The small business will get destroyed, and the consumers, the lack of competition that is out there, which is the key, I think, in business is competition, will just be destructed because of there is nobody to stand in the way of a Walmart. There's nobody to stand in the way of an Amazon, and there's nobody to compete. And, you know, I guess the question would be, you know, if you were buying something that was $30, would you mind paying your local retailer an extra dollar to buy that same good? Okay. And let them make their profit margins. And I think this is a very, very serious thing, not today, but over time. Because again, when you continue to wipe out competition, and you wipe out, you know, we've been through this before, and it doesn't typically have a great result. And even for the consumer, because what happens is as competition falls away, then prices that were brought down because the lack of competition can now be forced or be able to be being brought back higher. So as you bring the prices higher, okay, again, that takes away the edge that you develop. So we have to be very careful of our short-term, our immediate gratification need of saving the dollar today, because as Wimpy, you know, says in Popeye, if you give me a hamburger today, I'll gladly pay it tomorrow. Well, if we continue to wipe out or let the big guys wipe out the competition, because it's all about money right now, then it, unfortunately, we will be paying the tab and the money later. Again, I this is not a scare tactic. This is just a simple fact of economics, that if you wipe out competition, then the big dogs can charge more and get away with it. And I think that's just something that needs to be kept in mind. But everybody have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy your holiday and digest all that food. But there's plenty of leftovers, I'm sure. So as is always, a pleasure to be part of your day. And certainly I appreciate you taking the time to hang with me on The Bubba Show. Enjoy the football if you're a fan. A lot of football today, tomorrow, Sunday, Monday. But don't forget, as always, to go to libertytalk.fm and download The Bubba Show, as well as The Sporting Edge, which airs every Saturday. In the meantime, once again, everybody, have a great weekend. I always appreciate you. We'll see you back here on Monday. Same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show, and I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And to all of you, peace, love, and have a great time. We'll see you later, everybody. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great weekend. Good night, everybody.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.